This is Jay Sekulow, furious at the U.S. victory over ISIS. Nancy Pelosi calls a vote on the next steps in the impeachment inquiry.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I think the reason she's going to have this vote is because the American people understand it is a sham. They understand it isn't fair. The idea that the president doesn't get counsel in the room, the people from the State Department don't get agency counsel in the room, the minority gets no rights. We can't even see the transcript unless we make a special appointment and some Democrats in the room as you're reviewing the transcript, and they get to selectively leak things because we follow the rules and they don't.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Due process starts at the beginning. It doesn't affirm a sham investigation all the way through. If you were in a legal term, it'd be the fruit from the poisonous tree. It'd be a mistrial. None of this information would go forward.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
First, a little bit of breaking news, and that is the ISIS spokesman, Abu Hassan al-Mazhar, who was going to be the replacement for al-Baghdadi, has been killed in Syria. Islamic spokesman was, and that's what his job was the considered to be the potential successor for al-Baghdadi. He has been killed in Syria in a separate attack by U.S. forces, this according to the State Department. So all of that happened. So the number two is now out, the number one and number two of al-Qaeda gone. So what does Nancy Pelosi then do? Let's switch the conversation back to the impeachment inquiry. What's she going to do? We're going to have a vote on procedure. A little late. And what procedure is due? Well, it's called due process, and it has not been much of that in this process. There's been none of it. In fact, today, a witness is going forward, but agency counsel is not allowed to be in that proceeding. I'm not allowed to be in that proceeding. The White House counsel is not allowed to be in that proceeding. So the lack of due process here is breathtaking in scope, and this is evidently, by the way, this is not a vote on formal articles of impeachment. This is, again, more process. And it's, again, I believe, a little late in the game for this process. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The witnesses have already testified. You can't cross-examine them now?
Here's the description of what the resolution will be. It's directing certain committees to continue. See, it's not an opening of a new. It's right. A continue their ongoing investigation of part of an existing House of Representatives inquiry into whether sufficient grounds exist for the House of Representatives to exercise its power to impeach Donald John Trump, President of the United States, and for other purposes. It goes on to explain that for other purposes, it will authorize disclosure of transcripts of the depositions that have already occurred, like the one that's about to occur today, without any legal counsel being present from the White House.
When you say no legal counsel present, we understand that agency counsel is not present.
No, right. No White House counsel, no agency counsel.
No State Department counsel.
No State Department. And so these transcripts will be released, but these, of course, were done without any kind of legal representation there, any cross-examination, any attorney saying, no, that's an inappropriate question, like was done in the past. Now, this new resolution that the House is set to vote on Thursday is supposed to lay out what due process rights there will be for Mr. Trump and his attorneys. But we have no idea how broad those will be. And what we've talked about before the show is that you cannot have retroactive due process. So right. For every one of these people that have already done an interview, there was no due process for President Trump.
Right.
So moving forward, there might be some. There might be very little. We don't know exactly.
Yep.
But going back, looking back, this is still a sham.
Yep. Andy?
Jay, what this is like is this. It's like we're having a trial, okay? And we've called about 80% of the witnesses, where the other side has not had a chance to confront the accuser, know anything about what the witness is going to say, have a transcript of the testimony, be allowed to make objections to anything that those 80% of the witnesses have said, and now we're going to say, I'll tell you what we're going to do. From now on to the end of the trial, we're going to give you the opportunity maybe to have a little cross-examination, to see some of the transcripts, to make some objections. That's exactly what this is analogous to.
Charles on Facebook said, obvious attempt to change the conversation by the Democrats, we can see through it. I think that's precise. Stan, in 20 seconds, that is what it looks like.
Look, in order for due process to be worth anything at all, Jay, it's got to be afforded before the process actually takes place.
Yeah. So what process is due? Here, it's past due. Okay? The due process is past due. All right, we're taking a break. We're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. What's your reaction to this latest maneuver in the House of Representatives? 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.com.
The Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me take a moment out here to ask for those of you that are listening around the country, around the world, to pray for a very close friend of ours. Pat Monahan has been a law partner of mine for, we've been practicing law together for 35 years, since our very first case at the U.S. Supreme Court till today. His wife, who's a dear friend of ours as well, Mary Louise, has had a medical issue that's arisen, and it's very, very serious. And I'm going to ask you to pray for Mary Louise Monahan and the entire Monahan family. These are very dear to us at the ACLJ. They're very dear friends of everybody up on our broadcast. I mean, from our producer, Will's known the Monahan family since he was probably 4 years old. I mean, so and same thing for Jordan and Logan, and of course, Andy, all of us, and Harry are wishing prayers and thoughts, and also, but pray for her the family, but pray also for Mary Louise. We need a miracle, and I believe in a God of miracles. So we'll ask you to do that. And I want to, before we get back to anything on the cases or the issues we're handling, let's always put his family and friends come first in these kind of situations. And this is a situation where your prayers for this family are needed, and your prayers for Mary Louise are needed. And I know that they would appreciate your prayers. So thank you very much on that. Let me go right to Harry Hutchison here. Jordan brought up a really good point. Retroactive due process is not due process.
That is precisely correct. And so if you ask the following question, is there such a thing as retroactive due process? The question answers itself. Due process, as Than has mentioned, is necessary at the commencement of an investigation, not at the end of the process. And so we may have seen approximately 75 to 85% of the witnesses, their testimony, without cross-examination, without the president's attorneys being able to cross-examine witnesses, and without the Republicans being able to subpoena witnesses. So what we then have, if we look at Adam Schiff and his leadership, if we can call it that, is simply a sham, corrupt investigation from the get-go. And that leads to the conclusion that Kevin McCarthy pointed to, that can we use fruit from the poisonous tree to implicate anyone? And I think the answer is no. And I hope the American people will see through this unfair, corrupt process led by Adam Schiff, who, as we all know, is simply a world-class liar.
All right, let's go ahead and play Kevin McCarthy. This is the this is as direct as you can get from the ranking member in the House. Here it is.
Due process starts at the beginning. It doesn't affirm a sham investigation all the way through. If you were in a legal term, it'd be the fruit from the poisonous tree. It'd be a mistrial. None of this information would go forward. But what's most important to the American public, we all have the phone call. We all have the transcript. We are all able to see there was no quid pro quo. The money was released. Ukraine did nothing and no action was taken. Where's the crime? Where's the impeachment? What's the impeachable offense?
Well, here's what you have. You have a witness testifying today that didn't like the phone call that we all have been able to read. But he's not the president of the United States. So interesting that he didn't like the phone call. But the commander-in-chief is given the authority on foreign policy, not a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, with no disrespect to the lieutenant colonel. But, I mean, this is just so he's unhappy with it or he didn't like it or whatever it might be. The fact of the matter is
deep state coup actors. We've been through this before with the president. Again, they're taking it up a notch because we're getting into the election year in just a few weeks. And so they failed with Bob Mueller. And if they fail with Bob Mueller, do you really think Congress can pull this off themselves?
I don't think so.
Couldn't do it with Bob Mueller and his team of specialists. So now you're seeing the parade of horribles. So they're picking off a few lieutenant colonels here on the NSC. I don't like the call. I didn't feel like I liked the call. Without anybody there from the Trump administration or White House counsel even listening to what this guy's saying, ultimately I guess we're going to get the transcripts. But so what?
But it's like having a witness that you don't get to cross-examine, Andy. I mean, yeah.
It's like I said. I mean, it's like me prosecuting a murder case. And then the defendant cannot be there. The defendant cannot hear what the prosecution witness is saying. The defendant has no right to cross-examine. The defendant has no subpoena power. I mean, it's just one-sided. Now you're trying to whitewash it by saying, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Going forward, we're going to change all that. But meanwhile, the vast majority of what has happened has already occurred.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got a great question coming in by Facebook. Before you get to that, Than, I want to go to you on this. This is very important for people. They are not voting on articles of impeachment.
No, they're voting for what the procedure will be going forward from here, Jay. I mean, Jordan referenced that the resolution they're considering as they're introduced it, though we don't have language, references an ongoing investigation and an existing House of Representatives inquiry. Jay, they're doing everything they can to double down on the claim that this is not an admission that they've been doing it wrongly up until now. But just bringing this forward, Jay, is an admission of exactly that. And I would just pose a question to those who say otherwise. If they now recognize, Jay, that there needs to be parameters, that there needs to be due process, then why are they still taking witness testimony today? Why are they doing that before the due process?
Oh, because we don't need to give you due process until after the witnesses are done testifying. So then you can have all the due process you want, except it doesn't matter. Interesting question on Facebook. Doesn't the Constitution give due process, not Congress?
Yes, it does. It's in Article Amendment 5 of the U.S. Constitution, which says that no criminal case can be brought against you without due process of law. It does not say that Congress creates when due process should begin when they are conducting an impeachment, a trial. And here the issue is this. They are admitting that there was no due process by having this vote. They don't want to spin it that way, but what they are telling you through this resolution is there has been no due process up until this vote. We have not allowed any review of the testimony by anyone outside of the committee hearings, including even members who attend the hearings but are on the Republican side, don't get to the transcripts. Okay? So all we've heard is the leaks from Schiff and Pelosi's cronies. So by admission, because of the American people saying this is absurd, by Lindsey Graham getting 50 Republicans in the Senate to say this is a sham, they are now having to admit there was no due process. This was a sham, phony impeachment investigation, and it will continue to be one unless you start it over from scratch, which they will not do.
No. So let's play Adam Schiff talking about this very issue.
You know, it's hard to say what other senior officials will do. I'm sure they'll get like instructions from the White House. And if they do and they fail to appear, they will be building a very powerful case against the president for obstruction.
So So exercising constitutional privileges is now the basis for obstruction, according to Adam Schiff, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, the same committee that's giving no due process and trying to fix it when the game is on the last 2 minutes and it's, you know, and the quarter's over, last 2 minutes, and we're going to change all the rules, as if that's going to cure a defect. Well, guess what? Exercising a constitutional privilege is not the basis for obstruction. And I'll tell you something else. A retroactive application, as Jordan said, of due process, Harry, does not fix a process that did not comply with the Constitution.
You're absolutely and precisely correct. Adam Schiff has gone into this alleged impeachment inquiry with a closed mind. He has already made up his mind with respect to culpability. Indeed, many Democrats made up their mind in November of 2016. They then launched cries for the impeachment of then-candidate Donald Trump well before his inauguration. So essentially, we have a corrupt process, a corrupt process that has been advanced by Adam Schiff, who now seeks to criminalize essentially the president's exercise of his executive power under Article 2 of the Constitution. So this now tramples on the separation of powers within the meaning of the Constitution. And essentially, Adam Schiff is saying, if we demand it in Congress, the president must give it to us. Otherwise, that justifies his impeachment. This is nonsense.
Is Adam Schiff saying that if you take your Fifth Amendment right not to testify, that's now impeachable? Is he saying that if you legally challenge whether or not Congress has the right because of the way they've been conducting these hearings in court, so you go to court, you ask the judge to decide, that's now becomes a mark against you and it becomes an article of impeachment because you exercise, as you said, very clearly explained constitutional rights like the Fifth Amendment right not to testify or self-incrimination, especially when you don't have counsel with you. I mean, you know,
you talk about a fundamental constitutional issue.
Yeah.
The lack of counsel present during the witness examination can be cured by providing counsel availability after the witness testified? No, that's absurd. So I think you're right, Jordan. This is an admission that they got it wrong from the beginning and that they're trying to do this late minute fix, except it doesn't. The American people are seeing through exactly what this is. Hey, here's what we're doing. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. Don't go away. Share it with your friends. I want to go through some special information, and we'll talk about when we come back on radio audience as well. 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, I think that Harry Hutchinson has a very good point he talked about during the break that I want to raise now with our radio audience. So this is important. And that is, there is this, Jordan's coined this phrase, but I think is right, this kind of retroactive due process. I think this is also, as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, I think you had a successful military action against Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Now the number two is also been terminated. And who is going to be the rising leader of ISIS has been killed. So they want to get everything, you know, the Democrats want to get everything back on the impeachment inquiry. So let's have a vote that doesn't say we're having formal articles of impeachment, but rather says, oh, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give some due process after the process is almost over.
Absolutely. And so essentially the Democrats are suggesting that they can unring the bell. And that will not work, and it shouldn't wash with the American people. In addition, the Democrats wish to deflect attention from the ongoing investigation and the forthcoming report by the Inspector General. They're concerned by Michael Horowitz's investigation, which apparently will not be redacted largely. They're also concerned about John Durham's investigation, which will look into the initiation of Crossfire Hurricane. So the Democrats are attempting, if you will, to change the narrative, because the narrative does not support this investigation, but also there's some bad news that is probably coming their way.
So Pam on Facebook said, if the Democrats want a do-over, beat them at the ballot box in 2020. Until then, do your job, Congress. And Jordan, they're not.
No, they're not. I mean, this is the thing. Democrats are not doing their job. They're not legislating at all. They're not even moving forward as quickly as they could because they started this process poorly. If they really believed impeachment was necessary, they could have started right from the beginning and have already probably moved forward. And maybe even started by the end of the year having a vote on actual articles of impeachment. When you look at how they're doing this process now, it's purely political. They don't want to hand this over to the Senate, because if they do, they see what Lindsey Graham's already put together, a strong coalition of senators who've said, nope, we're not moving forward on this. You're not, you know, Donald Trump's not going anywhere when it comes to a congressional removal. He will not be convicted in the U.S. Senate of impeachment. And so you will have to beat him in the ballot box. You know what we're ignoring completely right now during all of this? How bad the Democratic candidates are. You know, this is another also it kind of turns us away from, you know, we had the Baghdadi. Rightly so, we focused on that. Now we have impeachment, which I think was to take away from the Baghdadi victory. And I was disgusted when I saw the Washington Nationals fans boo. Could you imagine Barack Obama was booed after going to a baseball game? After I would have been praising Barack Obama at a baseball game if he had just announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed. I've been cheering for him, and I disagree with him on everything, including some of his policies towards terrorism and ISIS and how to defeat. But he did get he made that final call to send our troops in, just like President Trump did. And President Trump was booed. We are in a different world than we were in. Just a few years ago.
No,
we need
that.
To wise up to it, folks, because it is politics all the time, and it is getting very heated and very dangerous.
All right, so Lisa on Facebook said this then. Meanwhile, nothing's getting done in this country on trade, immigration, infrastructure, while they conduct their, quote, investigation, end quote.
Yeah, all true, Jay. And not to mention, we're less than 4 weeks away from another spending deadline, and yet House Democrats haven't passed a bill to address that. So the caller's exactly right. Jay, I've said this before, but if Democrats thought they were going to win the White House next year, there is no way that they would be engaging in this inquiry right now. If they thought they were going to win that election, they would not be doing it. This is diversion. And Jay, just one other piece of evidence on that. There are a bunch of House Democrats that were surprised by this announcement. They thought they were going to get shielded from this vote. They were surprised that she called
for
diversion.
I'm sure they're not happy about it either. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go to Pamela in North Carolina online for Pamela. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you, Jay, for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you for all that you're doing for our great country and all that you stand for being a Christian. I do have a big concern, and I do have a question. I feel that this entire situation on impeachment yep. is hinging on one technical word that the Democrats are using, and that's the word inquiry. Yep. My question is, do you feel that the Democrats are using this word inquiry to their benefit so they don't have to move forward publicly with the due process?
Listen, Pamela, it's a great question you just asked. And I want to go to our linguist, and Dr. Andrew Economo on this, who'll probably tell me the root word of the word inquiry.
Well, it's a Latin word, inquire, Latin, and obviously what it means is to look into or to ask questions about, but it's gameplay and semantics by Nancy Pelosi. Look, this is an investigation into whether or not President Trump should be impeached. You can call it inquiry, you can call it investigation, you can call it accusation, you can call it anything you want, but that's what it was from the very beginning. Why not say so? Why not give him due process? Why not give him the basic rights?
Well, they don't want due process because she cross-examined a witness.
Yeah,
for instance, if you were
A burglar in Appling County, Georgia would get more rights than the President of the United States has gotten.
Well, I mean, like, one of the questions you'd like to ask one of the witnesses is that were, you know, on the call or heard about the call but didn't talk to the president is, so this is your opinion on policy. In other words, you don't like this policy, but I would then say, but you recognize that the presidency commander-in-chief and foreign policy is what presidents are elected to engage in.
Not military members.
Right.
Military members don't make foreign policy. They are there to enact the foreign policy of the executive branch, not
Very
question
good.
It. If they have a problem with it, they should resign. That's their job in the military. So you either follow the orders, you do not make policy. It's a quote from Top Gun as well. We don't make the policy. We carry it out. Civilians make the policy. We do that on purpose in the United States, by the way, because you don't want the military running everything. So you want civilian input. And if you don't like it, you can resign your military post, especially when you've made it to those top-level positions, or at least be reassigned until you can make a resignation that makes sense. But instead, you're now questioning policy decisions. The president can certainly go to the military leaders like the Joint Chiefs for advice, but the ultimate policy goals and decisions are made by the executive branch
civilians.
And that's what
elections are about.
And the Department of Defense, which are also led by civilians. So, interesting here, Washington Post is Wall Street Journal reporting that these moderate Democrats are freaking out. The move to have a full House vote came as a total surprise to Democrat lawmakers in competitive districts who have been hesitant to take a vote while saying they support the investigation. One lawmaker in such a district said he was blindsided and said the vote was, quote, completely unhelpful. So this is taking a huge electoral risk
yep.
for Democrats in the House.
But then, so what do they do, these individual members? They toe the party line, though, what do they do here?
Well, we're about to find out. It's Speaker Pelosi's fault, though, Jay. She's been promising the impeachment wing of her party that she would go along with them. She's been promising the more moderate wing that she was going to shield them from a vote. Jay, she couldn't possibly do both, and she knew it, but she got herself in this mess. I don't think there's a way out of it.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So you want to stay tuned. We're here for another 30 minutes on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, ACLJ.org, SiriusXM, and stations around the country. You get the full hour of this broadcast. We encourage you to stay engaged. Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, is available in bookstores everywhere still. And also, we encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that by simply going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
On Sunday, the president authorized a strike by our military, which executed with precision and took out Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the founder of ISIS. We wrote a book about that called The Rise of ISIS, and ISIS operated a lot more like Hamas, controlling territory, operating like a government, much more like Hamas than al-Qaeda. He appointed a number two, that individual, Abu Hassan al-Mujahar, has also been killed this morning by military strike. So again, a thank you to our men and women that serve in our armed forces that protect us and defend us, and thankful to the president for ordering the strike, because that is, after all, what freedom is all about, and that is enabling us to maintain our freedoms and liberties as a constitutional republic, which would be a lesson, I think, for Nancy Pelosi to learn, who today or yesterday started announcing we're going to have a resolution on process. Now, this is after Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, issued a 50 co-signed signatures or 50 co-sponsors of legislation or a resolution condemning what the House has done, which is no due process, followed up with, and this is also important, the fact that we now have a witness going in today, Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army, who there will be no one from the White House counsel's office, no one from the president's private legal team, no one from the agency in that room. And so when they enact their, quote, due process on Thursday, a little late, way late.
A little late. I mean, we're talking about retroactive due process, and it doesn't exist in it doesn't make sense. There are people testifying as we speak right now, like this lieutenant colonel that is a staff of the National Security Council from the White House, who's going to testify he doesn't like the president's phone call, and he didn't agree with it, and he doesn't like it. And there's going to be no White House counsel representatives there. There's going to be no transcript available to anyone in the public yet. And this resolution says, well, eventually we'll get all the transcripts to everything, and there will be some due process. But who's going to be left to testify? I mean, that's the question. Who's left? They don't want the whistleblower to testify.
Of course not.
That person disappeared.
So
they're gonna create due process for when it doesn't matter.
Well, that's exactly right. So Jordan coined this for a retroactive due process. And Harry, we go back to this because this is important. We'll get to calls in the next two segments of the broadcast. But I want to point this out. There is no way you can have retroactive due process. Jordan just said the witnesses have testified. Now you're gonna ask them questions?
Absolutely. So the overall process again reminds me of a show trial that the Bolsheviks basically pioneered in during the 1930s and the 1940s. Essentially, the Democrats offer the following proposition: admit your guilt, or we will only accept witnesses who will confirm your guilt. But now they say, after initiating this corrupt process, we will now extend due process, but you cannot unring the bell. In other words, the witness testimony is already in the record. No cross-examination was allowed, either by Republicans or by the president's lawyer. So this is a corrupt process, arguably in violation of the Constitution, certainly in violation of prior impeachment cases. So it violates precedent, and it arguably violates the Constitution. But nonetheless, the Democrats seek to deflect attention away from what happened over the weekend when al-Baghdadi was killed by the president.
So, Andy, quickly here, you've done a lot of trial work. I've done a lot of trial work. This idea of retroactive due process does not exist.
There is no such thing. That's nonsense. You don't have due process retroactively. You either have it from the beginning or you don't have it at all. And the president was not the president of the United States, the highest ranking civil and military commander in chief of the United States, was not given the basic fundamental rights to due process in an impeachment inquiry, call it what you will, that anyone else would have.
All right, we're back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let's go right to the phones. We've got calls. We're going to get some lines opened up for you so you can get in, gaze in the conversation. Let's go ahead and take another call, Jordan.
All right, let's go to Calvin in Montana on line five. Calvin, thanks for holding on. We'll get you a book. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Calvin.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I sure appreciate what you do and admire your incredible program. What I want to share is, I understand and I know this is a constitutional republic with an executive, a judicial, and a legislative branch. And each are supposed to check and balance the others. Now, we know the stand of the executive. Half of the legislative would stop this. Now, why in the world is not the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, saying what you're doing is illegal, it's wrong, we want it stopped, cease and desist now? And then demand a psychological evaluation of Nancy Pelosi and
Adam
Schiff.
We're not going to do that. But as to your question, which is a legitimate question, is what is the role of the judiciary? As I've said before on this broadcast, no options are off the table. We are a constitutional republic, which means the Constitution is paramount. And you look at the constitutional issues. Now, there's a doctrine of law. I'll let Harry address this. He did a good job on this last week. The political question doctrine. Now, there are exceptions to it where the courts say, hey, this is a political question. We're going to stay out. But when you've got fundamental due process violations like this, and you did a very effective job last week of laying that out. But look, again, no options are off the table as far as potential litigation here. There are witnesses where there's litigation going on right now, where and it's all constitutional litigation. And it's very significant constitutional litigation. But, Harry, about the political question doctrine, what's your sense? I mean, the courts generally stay out of these things, but on a situation like this, very unique situation.
I think that's precisely correct. So under the political question doctrine, we should note that this is really a self-imposed rule by the court itself. In other words, the court restrains itself from involving its decision-making in certain issues. However, when the fundamental notion of the republic is at stake, I think it's it's almost impossible for the court to restrain itself, and it must reach a decision. So I think you're quite right in emphasizing that no option is off the table,
right?
Because this may be a paramount example or illustration of a time when the court must indeed intervene. And so if you look back at history, if you look back, for instance, at the litigation involving Bush versus Gore, The Supreme Court was very reluctant to involve itself until all lower courts, and in that particular case, state court decision making had been exhausted. And then they said, we have to decide because we cannot leave this election hanging. And I think we will reach a similar point with respect to these constitutional issues.
Richard's calling from Kentucky online too. Richard, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, Richard.
Yes, I think we're witnessing an evil miscarriage of justice, a Bolshevik-style kangaroo court caused by the Democrats' irresponsible sloppiness as to the American constitutional protections of due process, mixed with their hatred of President Trump.
So I have said, Andy, that this is a star chamber in a sense.
It is.
So describe what that is.
Well, essentially it is a throwback to Tudor England. We're back in the 16th century in which we have a room in which is closed, which there are no lawyers. Henry VIII, Shakespeare said, the first thing we must do is kill all the lawyers. And what he meant is that the lawyers were the ones who were there to assure you that your rights were protected, to assure you that justice is done and that there is due process. And we've done away with that in this. We've gone back to the late Middle Ages in our constitutional jurisprudence by denying a sitting president of the United States the most fundamental basic thing, and that is confront your accuser, due process of law.
I want to play Doug Collins' comment about all of this and then get Jordan and Than's comments. Take a listen.
Now we've had another change of heart by Speaker Pelosi, who's now decided that everything that they've been doing for the last 3 weeks was wrong. We've been telling them it's wrong. We've gave them plenty of notice that it was wrong and not fair to the American people or fair to the president. So now she's decided that the Republicans are really wrong, but we're going to vote to do something. We haven't seen the text yet. In fact, they had to write it all night last night. That shows you how desperate they are.
Jordan.
Well, this is what he's exactly right. This is an admission that they have been conducting this without due process. Completely wrong, that the speaker and three committee chairs are not given the constitutional authority to impeach a president, but that the full House is given the authority to open up the impeachment. And so even though she's saying, well, the courts have said this and some legal scholars have said this, ultimately she is saying that we must do this resolution because if not, no one's going to take our impeachment seriously. And that's why she had to write a 2-page letter to her colleagues, who many of which never wanted to take a vote on this.
Right.
They're scared to death that they will lose their 100% congressional seats because Nancy Pelosi is going to force them, as she will, to vote yes on a resolution to try and retroactively correct an impeachment that was a failure from the beginning when Adam Schiff opened his mouth and lied about contact with the whistleblower and lied about that staff contact with the whistleblower, and then lied about what the actual conversation was when he made up his own narrative. It should have been done then. I mean, talk about fruit of the poisonous tree. This is a kangaroo court or worse. It's like the Stalin courts, and it's time for them to go. And this is an admission of how bad they screwed things up.
Okay, so then when you look at the situation like this.
They didn't want to have this vote.
No, they evidently a lot of them still don't want to have this vote, then.
Well, yeah, she announced the vote last night, and then they had to write the resolution that they'd be voting on. That's how last minute it was. But Jordan referenced the letter that Speaker Pelosi wrote to her colleagues, Jay.
Yes.
I mean, that letter in it itself proved the case. I mean, in it, she says that the resolution is going to do four things. One, establish the procedure for the hearings. You mean the hearings that have already happened over the last month? Two, authorizes the disclosure of deposition transcripts, the ones that Republicans haven't had access to. Three, outlines procedures to transfer evidence to the judiciary committee. Of course, the evaluation of the evidence is where the due process was necessary. And then fourth, Jay, it says that the resolution will set forth due process rights for the president and his counsel. Now, look, we haven't seen the resolution. The text isn't out yet. Who knows if it will actually do that? But even if it does, Jay, it's a little late to afford those four promises that the speaker says she's now affording.
So, Andy, if we know the position is you cannot retroactively give due process, and we know that they're doing this in response to the politics of the moment, including Lindsey Graham's resolution and the success on al-Baghdadi in the political process, and she sprung it on her swing state or swing district colleagues, where does this play out?
Well, I mean, I think it puts the colleagues who are up for re-election in districts that the president won in a terrible predicament, because if they're going to vote party line and stick with the speaker, they may lose their seats because President Trump carried their districts. What are they going to do? I mean, they're in a quandary. I would hate to be somebody in that position who unseated a Republican, let's say, for example, and who now has got to vote the party line and whose district the president won. And that's exactly the position that she's putting them in. But what's even worse is the Speaker of the House of Representatives has made a statement now at the 11th hour, October 28th, yesterday, said, we are now, after months and months and months of testimony that we have taken, we are now going to set forth, quote, due process rights for the president and his counsel. Is that disgusting?
It is. Well, let me read again this other key portion of her letter. I think this is, again, reiterating this. This is her letter. This week, we will bring a resolution to the floor that affirms the ongoing existing investigation that is currently being conducted by our committees as part of this impeachment inquiry, including all requests for documents, subpoenas for records and testimony, and any other investigative steps previously taken or to be taken as part of this investigation. So I look at this and I say to myself, that's all interesting, except this has been an ongoing matter for months and months now, and you've given no due process.
People are testifying as we speak.
Literally. As you're writing your letter, people are testifying and you're circulating it. So how do I get due process here, Harry? You don't.
You don't, but...
But now the lawyers, the president's lawyers can come in.
But the Dems have consistently beclowned themselves with respect to this whole impeachment issue. So we have Adam Schiff, as Jordan correctly points out, who suggested he had no prior contact with the whistleblower. And then the president, of course, released the transcript. Then Adam Schiff said, well, now that we don't need the testimony of the whistleblower because the transcript speaks for itself. But then if that is all true, then why do we need all of these witnesses? And why must the hearing be held in secret? Why must the president be denied the right to cross-examine witnesses? So it's really a sham on steroids.
It sure is. All right, we're taking your calls. Last time in the broadcast coming up, we don't have any lines available yet, but I'm going to try to clear some out and get folks on the line here. So if you're on the line, hang in there. We're going to get to you. If not, get your comments on my Facebook and Periscope on Twitter. We can certainly take a look at those as well. So we'll do that. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. It's a really easy way to do it, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And also Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available wherever books are sold. We encourage you to get a copy of this. But again, support our ongoing work of the ACLJ. We have a major announcement on a case, an international case that we're going to make next week. I mean, a huge development and a case, a historic moment for our European Center for Law and Justice and our lawyers affiliated with that group, which includes me and others. Big, big day coming up, a big month coming up. We'll talk about that next week.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial, and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Watching on Facebook and Periscope, you enjoyed the tune, heard it through the grapevine, then let us know that. We'll play it for you in its entirety at the end of the broadcast. All right, we've got to hit calls because people have been holding. Let's start in the order that people have called in. Jordan, start with line one.
Yep, and we'll get Julie a book. Julie from California, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Julie.
Oh, thanks for sending me your notebook, Jordan. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I have two questions. First of all, I thought the whole House had to vote to even begin an impeachment inquiry, and what Pelosi's doing now is simply a procedural vote. I don't understand what the difference is. I thought the whole House has to authorize it in the first place.
Well, the Constitution says that Congress, the House of Representatives actually, has the authority to engage in impeachment, not a subcommittee, not a committee. But Will Haynes, our producer, said this. What they're really trying to do with this new process, and I think this is true, is they are trying to cover up their sham process
right. In
a retroactive way.
Right. So Julie's right. Historically, to try and make where the Constitution's fairly open and vague, it's
right.
just the House can open, is that in the past, when the House has decided to go down the path of impeachment, Julie, they have voted to open, not just to vote on impeachment by the full House, but to vote on the full House on to opening an inquiry. That is not what this vote is. I want to make sure that everyone understands this. And Nancy Pelosi is making that clear in her letter. She's saying that this is a vote only to affirm the ongoing existing investigation that's being conducted as part of this impeachment inquiry. So it is, again, trying to cover up a sham process and then what? Bring about due process rights and transparency when all the witnesses have testified,
right?
When you're not going to bring the whistleblower forward because the whistleblower doesn't exist, and you made that person up, I guess. I mean, all of this, it just reeks of what we've already been through with this president and the American people. Whatever side of the aisle you're on, this is not how you should be deciding who to vote for president of the United States. A gross miscarriage of justice is not how you decide to vote for president of the United States. Vote on policies. Vote on issues.
Okay. All right, let's go back to the phone.
Yep, Robert in Florida on line four. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Yep. Thank you, Jay. What an honor to be on. I'm a pastor here in Orlando, Florida,
yes.
And I have a lot of issues with this whole process. First of all, I'm not sure that the concept of impeachment is clearly defined, because it seems to a lot of people that when you impeach somebody, it's like a stain on you, but you can be impeached but not removed. So it's like
Correct. A
shadow over you.
The Senate has, I'll let you finish up, the Senate, the House can't convict. All they can do is bring an article of impeachment and pass an article of impeachment. They cannot, a trial would take place in the Senate. But go ahead and finish up, Robert.
But here's my problem. If it is that she's asking for a vote,
yes.
Is the vote to start or is the vote on articles of impeachment? What is the difference between articles of impeachment, the vote on that,
yep.
and
Great
this
question.
Vote? I'm not sure. I think
it's a great question. So this is not a vote, fan, on articles of impeachment. This is a vote on procedures for the next quote phase of this inquiry.
This is a vote to say we got caught. We did start an inquiry a few weeks ago. We never voted on it. We're going to vote to continue that investigation. Now, Jay, we still have not seen any draft of any articles that they would vote on. Yes, some random congressman introduced some months and months ago, way before any of this came to light. We still don't know what those articles would look like if they came to it. And I think Jordan alluded to this earlier, Jay. I think they're pivoting now that there's no merits. Yep. And if they do ever draft articles, I bet you it'll all be focused on obstruction because we launched this inquiry and you wouldn't cooperate. I bet there won't be any merits in there.
No, I think that's right. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Doug in California, line three. Doug, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey,
we'll
Doug.
Get you a book as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a question that came out of listening to some talking points on a news program of Democrats that were trying to promote the legitimacy of this inquiry by likening it to when police pull over a car and take out the suspects separately, you know, to interview them so they can't share their stories and so forth. So how important the secrecy was, which seemed to be plausible, except for the fact of all this daily leaking that's taking place.
Well, right.
Kind of, you know, sinks it, it but, just but, destroys that. That
no, Doug, you raise a valid, an interesting point. And Andy, I'm going to go to you on this. But, of course, they are leaking information selectively. But also, this is not a separate witnesses so we don't know what each is talking about. They have started this impeachment, whatever they want to call it, and process should attach at that point. The thing we look at the law is, when does due process attach? And it should have attached here when the witnesses were being called in, since you are the impeachment body, the
That's
House.
Right. The House has the sole power of impeachment under the Constitution. The minute you talk about impeachment, everything, and it's a political process, but it's a political process that has due process implications permeating throughout it. And therefore, well, the minute you begin talking about impeachment and you're calling witnesses before committees, which are charged with responsibility of ferrying that out, you've got to give the object of that impeachment, the right to the due process fundamentals
yep.
that you would give any person accused of a crime in any court in the United States. That has not been done for President Trump.
Cambria is calling in from Utah Online 5. Cambria, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Thank you. My question, a two-part question. Did they get the signatures for the resolution?
There are 50 co-sponsors of that resolution right now.
All that means is that there's enough that it's clear that there are enough Republicans, very clear, enough Republicans that their impeachment conviction would be going nowhere in the U.S.
Because you have to have 2/3 on that. Go ahead. What's your second question?
Okay, good. My concern was if it did make it to the Senate,
yeah.
that it would not get shut down because there was not enough votes on the resolution.
If there is an impeachment, articles of impeachment are voted out of the House, then if it goes to the Senate, there's multiple things that can happen. We could have a motion to dismiss that can be made to shut this down because of the fundamental denial of due process. And Harry, I think the fact that they're trying to retroactively do it almost bolsters our case because it's an acknowledgement that there was no process given.
Absolutely. And in contradistinction to prior impeachment cases, one of the issues which needs to be examined is the absence of probable cause. So with respect to, for instance, the Clinton impeachment hearing, Clinton allegedly lied under oath. That's a crime. With respect to the Nixon impeachment inquiry, there was a break-in, so there was an underlying crime. Here, we simply have a phone call, and
right.
then retroactively, the Democrats are trying to criminalize a phone call because they are now claiming the president is insufficiently cooperative in sharing records. And so now they want to claim obstruction of justice. Obstructing what? Nothing. They have the transcript itself.
So they will vote that they all agree that what's been happening has been an impeachment inquiry. Okay. It's like they had this aha moment and realized this is an impeachment inquiry. But then really quickly here with 30 seconds, what did these people, these members in the swing districts do here? Somebody asked, do they stay present?
They're in a lose-lose situation, yep. Jay. They have no political way out of this. I would just tell you this. 31 Democrats joined Republicans to open the Clinton impeachment. It's also interesting to note, I don't expect a single Republican to join Democrats this time, Jay.
There you go. There's not going to – look, folks, at the end of the day, the President of the United States will not be – if they impeach him, he's not going to be convicted. I still say they don't impeach him. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at ACLJ.org. For those of you on Facebook and Periscope, you wanted the song, we're going to play it for you. This is a newer one. Had it out a couple of weeks. Heard it through the grapevine.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.